According to DOD's latest official tally, the automatic cuts that took effect on March 1st sliced DOD's procurement accounts by 9.6% midway through the fiscal year. Some accounts were hit even harder as the department sought congressional permission to reprogram money in order to buttress lost funding for military readiness. You'd think a cut of that scale would make a noticeable dent in the bottom lines of the nation's largest defense contractors. Turns out you'd be wrong, at least for now.
Please report that we had a strong quarter at General Dynamics. With revenues of $7.9 billion and net income of $640 million, in short, we're off to a good start ahead of our internal plan and ahead of external expectations.
These efforts drove a 9% increase in earnings per share. All in all, it was an outstanding operating performance
overall,
from our team.
I would characterize the second quarter financial performance as broad-based, with results exceeding our expectations. This strong performance enabled us to increase our 2013 financial guidance.
That's Marilyn Hewson, the CEO of Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman CEO Wes Bush, and General Dynamics CEO Phebe Novakovic, among a string of large defense prime contractors that wowed Wall Street analysts last week with their second quarter results. Four of the top five defense primes raised their overall earnings projections for 2013. All five of them beat analyst expectations, and S&P's Aerospace and Defense Index of publicly traded defense companies hit its highest point since 2008. But things are not quite as rosy in the lower tiers of the defense industry.
As the sequester cuts are beginning to bite, it's the smaller companies that are really seeing the impact first. And, you know, that's tough because about 70% of the programs, equipment, et cetera, that are furnished come from small companies, and they're being hit pretty hard.
That's Marion Blakey, the president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association, a trade group that represents large primes and several hundred other firms. It's not as though sequestration or the more generalized notion of a defense spending drawdown have been pain-free for the larger companies or their workforces. The big firms have just spent the last several years trimming staff in preparation for spending cuts. Lockheed, DOD's biggest contractor, said last week that it alone has shed 30,000 workers over the past 3 years, more than 20%. Of its staff. Blakey says several of her larger members are also moving to diversify more of their lines of business outside of the defense sector. She says those sorts of things are much harder, though, for smaller, specialized firms to do.
Small companies who don't have that kind of flexibility, they don't have that kind of bench, candidly, they don't have the capital to make new investments that may turn out to take the business in a different direction. You know, smaller companies with maybe 100, 200 people simply can't make those kinds of shifts. And they, therefore, really do take the brunt of the early cuts.
And besides basic economics, there's something quite different about the character of this defense spending drawdown, says M.L. Mackey, the CEO and co-founder of a small Boston-based IT firm, Beacon Interactive Systems. It's not just the defense budget suddenly got smaller, she says. It's that no one's been able to tell just how much smaller because of the chaotic congressional appropriations process. She says her government customers have routinely been unable to project which programs they would be able to prioritize over the last several months because they didn't know when or if they'd be funded.
Every business owner struggles with uncertainty. You know, it's not a done deal that you're going to make a sale or that you're going to close an opportunity, but at least there's some consistency in the competitive landscape so that you understand how to engage and when it's reasonable to expect an opportunity to close. But when not only you as the vendor or the contractor are having a difficult time with uncertainty, but your customer is full of uncertainty in terms of our DoD customer saying, I know we need this, I know these are the funds in the budget for it, and I have no idea when I'm going to get them, and I have no idea if I can get it under contract by the end of the year when the funds go away. That level of uncertainty is just wreaking havoc across the industrial base.
Mackey, who's also the vice chair of the National Defense Industrial Association's Small Business Division, says small businesses are also facing another common challenge in DoD this year. The funding uncertainties, coupled with a furloughed federal contracting workforce, often mean that even when a bid has been awarded, there's a delay in getting money actually placed on contract.
Which means that you have to hold and be in a holding pattern before you can start executing upon work. That's a challenge for everyone across the industrial base. It is a disproportionate and really terrible challenge for small business in the, as a component of the industrial base, in that we have much smaller pockets. We have much less ability to weather what you've termed as cash flow, which is appropriate, but also the planning for your team. You need to hold your team together in order to be able to effectively execute. So it's not even just a matter of, so I cut resources, and then when the contract comes, I pick them back up again. The way that a small business is extremely effective and innovative and responsive, which is also true for large, but in a much more right-to-the-edge way for small businesses, is by keeping their team in good operational condition. I have good resources that I know that I can execute upon the contracts once they come in. So I watch a lot of my colleagues either trimming their small businesses, employees, cutting jobs, or just closing the doors because they can't wait it out. They can't hold until a contract comes through.
Mackey says she doesn't blame the government contracting workforce for those challenges. She calls them reasonable responses to the uncertainties agencies are facing around sequestration. The prime contractors are seeing some of the same problems, but they have enough cash on hand to weather the problems, so much so that several of them announced expanded share buyback plans last week. But Mackey says larger firms are also benefiting from another shift this year in government contracting. Since so much activity was put on hold while the details of sequestration were being ironed out, agencies are now scrambling to get work done. And that means a lot of business that would have ordinarily been split up into various competitions where small businesses could compete is now being hurriedly bundled into mega contracts that go to large prime vendors.
It's just much easier to get all of this on one contract to one big prime, and then the smalls have to duke it out to try to get on that contract with the big contractor. And there isn't that visibility, there isn't that direct access to the small business. Certainly the government's losing just dollars and on the pass-through charges to all the different companies that have to come together on one contract. But it's sort of that penny-wise, pound-foolish of, we can just chop this arbitrarily right at the top, and everything else will just follow through, and you just push it further down the supply chain, the cost, you know?
The Defense Department says it has small business at the top of its list of worries about sequestration's effect on the industrial base. Ilana Breutman, the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for Manufacturing and Industrial Base Affairs, says the department is especially concerned about critical niche capabilities that would have to be offshored or perhaps lost entirely if a given business could no longer stay afloat. She says DOD's watching the situation carefully in ways it could not do before because of its new sector-by-sector, tier-by-tier mapping effort of the defense industry.
It's remarkable what we're able to see. We get very detailed information, which we obviously protect with great confidentiality. And so we're really able to talk about down to facility level. You know, is that particular facility dependent on a single contract or something of that sort? Is that facility part of a big company or a small company? We really are able to see pretty far down.
Breutman says DOD has some tools in place to intervene in order to keep critical firms afloat for very brief periods if it determines that one is on the brink of failure, including the Defense Production Act and the Manufacturing Technology Investment Vehicle. She says the department hasn't seen the need to deploy any of those tools as a direct response to sequestration so far, since it doesn't expect the most severe effects of the cuts to impact the industrial base until fiscal 2014. But Mark Klett, the CEO of a small systems engineering firm in Virginia Beach, Virginia, says the troubled waters for small defense businesses did not start with sequestration. They started much earlier, he says, with the unpredictable on-again, off-again flow of funding from Congress.
It's stop and go. It's herky-jerky, if you will. In the last year, for example, I've had to put 30% of my personnel, critical personnel, to programs on the bench, not because anyone wanted them to be there, but we've had to go in for 90 days to 120 days, come off. And who pays for those folks to sit on the bench? That comes out of our company overhead. But that's what you have to do. You have to maintain your people and your core capabilities. And that's what you do as a small business. We don't have any pink paper in our company. Okay? There's no pink slips.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.